KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 58 degrees in Atlantic. We picked up 5/100ths of an inch of rainfall since 7 a.m. for a total of 27/100ths of an inch. We look for it to be cloudy today with occasional showers and thunderstorms, a high around 74. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, police in Council Bluffs are looking for four unknown persons who allegedly were going through vehicles in the Sully Towing Company parking lot this morning. Three of the white males entered the business at 15 South 20th Street through a window at around 2:50 a.m., while the fourth person remained outside. An employee was at the business, and when the suspects saw him, they left the scene at around 3:12 a.m., Bluffs police were dispatched to a hit-and-run accident in the area of Avenue D and North 16th Street. Upon arrival of the officers, they were informed that after the crash, two males exited a black Acura and ran from the scene. One male was wearing a blue hooded sweatshirt, the other was wearing a black T-shirt. Officers were informed that Real Value Auto might have a video of the accident. As they were reviewing the video, they noticed the same males who broke into Sully Towing were also on scene at the Real Value Auto before the accident, and that they had stolen a GMC Yukon. You can see pictures of the three suspects in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Both the incidents are being investigated by the Council Bluffs Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division. If you have any information regarding the incidents, you're encouraged to call the CID at 712-328-4728, or anonymous tips can be given by calling 712-328-STOP. Police in Creston Wednesday arrested 49-year-old Derek Reha of Creston. Creston was taken into custody at around 11:30 a.m. at his home on a Union County warrant for domestic abuse assault for his defense. He was being held in the Union County jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Reha was also charged with the possession of a controlled substance and two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, the bonds for which amounted to $1,600. And just after 8 a.m. Wednesday, 35-year-old Nicole Reinhardt of Creston was arrested at her home on a Union County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Reinhardt was released from the Union County jail on a $300 bond. The Atlantic Police Department yesterday said two men had been arrested on separate warrants on Tuesday. 38-year-old Michael Parrott of Atlantic was arrested on Cass County warrants for harassment in the second degree and criminal mischief in the fourth degree. And 30-year-old Justin Cooley of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for theft in the third degree. Both men were booked into the Cass County jail. Police in Council Bluffs yesterday were investigating a shooting that took place early Wednesday morning. Officers responded to a report of shots fired at a home in the 100 block of Lincoln Avenue at around 2 a.m. Wednesday. Two adults, a male and female, told officers they were on the front porch when an unknown person fired three shots at the home. Damage to the home and evidence located in the front yard indicates a shotgun was used during the incident. There were no injuries reported. Officers were unable to locate suspects upon their arrival, and the case remains under investigation. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said that on Wednesday at around 12:30 a.m., 40-year-old Bradley Allen Keneally Sr. of a trainer was taken into custody on four counts of child endangerment with substantial risk with regard to four juveniles ages 15 and younger and one count of domestic abuse assault for his offense causing bodily injury. Authorities have been called to the home in the 31,000 block of Dogwood Road for a reported disturbance just before 12:30 a.m. Wednesday. And while en route, the deputy was advised that Keneally was outside the residence looking for the 32-year-old female who called authorities. Keneally was later taken into custody inside the home. His bond on the endangerment charges was set at $2,000. And at around 8:25 p.m. on Tuesday, 40-year-old Casey Dell Klaser was arrested on a warrant out of Des Moines following a traffic stop in Pottawatomie County. He was taken into custody and held for Des Moines police at the Pott County Jail. Tuesday evening, a deputy was called to the 1500 block of Avenue J and arrested a 16-year-old male for possession of drug paraphernalia. On Tuesday afternoon, 34-year-old Andrew Encontro turned himself into the Pott County Sheriff's Office. He was wanted on a Pott County warrant for OWI first offense based on a 2011 incident. He was transported to the jail and turned over to corrections staff. And Tuesday morning, 30-year-old Amanda Lee Marholz Simonson was arrested in the lobby of the Pott County Jail on a warrant for theft in the fifth degree, that being passing a check valued at $200 or less. She was booked into the Pott County Jail. The Adams County Sheriff's Office yesterday said a man and woman from Corning were arrested at around 9 a.m. Wednesday for violation of a no-contact order. 33-year-old Damian Most and 40-year-old Jolene Most were seen together in a vehicle at 9th and Davis Streets in Corning. A valid no-contact order was in effect for both parties, who were placed under arrest and transported to the Adams County Jail. They were later released on their own recognizance. Elsewhere in state news, the National Weather Service has confirmed one tornado in southeastern Iowa on Wednesday that injured a man. A tornado hit Wednesday afternoon near Barnes City in Poweshiek County. The name and medical condition of the man injured was not immediately released. The tornado also damaged a farmstead in the area. Weather Service says the tornado was among a spate of reported tornado sightings throughout the state yesterday. Chad Hahn, a National Weather Service meteorologist based in Des Moines, said reports of tornadoes east and north of Des Moines Metro began around 4 p.m. beginning in Sac County. People in southwest Iowa are preparing for more flooding as recent heavy rains and rising river levels could push even more water beyond now useless flood barriers. There's a 1,200-foot breach on the levee south of Highway 34 in Mills County. Fixing it is a priority of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but that could take until mid-June. Our Mills County spokesperson, Sherry Bowen, says that's one reason the county is being proactive in recommending that some areas prepare to evacuate as the Missouri River is projected to rise again. Bowen says a few people that had moved back into their homes in those areas since March flooding have heeded the warning.
We're estimating around 5 families that were actively living in their properties, and those 5 families are no longer residing there temporarily.
She adds that officials are closely watching Missouri River levels since the county currently has no levee protection.
We wanted people who live west of the interstate there between the river to be very watchful and to be sure they were aware of the rising water and not caught by surprise.
And she said that most families in the area had not returned to their homes severely damaged from the March flooding. Motorists in southwestern Iowa are back to traveling a maze of detours as a new round of flooding closes a 40-mile stretch of Interstate 29, other highways and roads. Those thoroughfares had only reopened in recent weeks following devastating flooding along the Missouri River in March. On Wednesday, the Iowa DOT said I-29 was closed from Pacific Junction to the Missouri state line. Some sections of I-29 from the state line to St. Joseph, Missouri, had reopened Tuesday afternoon after being closed earlier in the day. Highway 2, which connects the interstate to Nebraska City, Nebraska, over the Missouri River, is again closed for flooding. New flooding had also closed Highway 34 between the Nebraska state line and I-29 near Pacific Junction. Some other Iowa roads that were reported closed yesterday include South Highway 169 near Adel, South Highway 65 near Lucas, Iowa Highway 92 near Oskaloosa, Iowa 21 near Belle Plain, Iowa Highway 130 near Plainview, and South 67 in Davenport. Officials stress that the flooding is a dynamic situation and conditions can change quickly, with other closures expected. Travelers should check 511IA.org, the Iowa 511 mobile app, or you can call 511 within Iowa for up-to-date closure information on the state's owned roadways across the state, obviously. And closures due to flooding can be viewed by turning on the incident layer on the online map and mobile app. Well, a proposed cross-country network of recreational trails called the Great American Rail Trail would follow a 465-mile path through Iowa. Existing trails cover about half that distance, according to Rail Trail Conservancy, which created the route. Lisa Hine of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation says to finish the job, local and state groups need to step up their efforts to connect the trail systems.
We have enough funding to do maybe 3 to 10 miles a year, and if we've got 150 miles of connections that we need to still make to complete the Great American Rail Trail across Iowa, it's going to take a few years.
On average, Hines says building 1 mile of trail costs some $300,000 to $400,000. Some 53% of the Iowa route is made up of existing trails like the Lake Manawa Trail, but there are still hundreds of miles of gaps in between. Mike Wallace, executive director of the Dallas County Conservation Board, says they plan to finish one of the trails, a 9-mile stretch between the High Trestle Trail and the Raccoon River Trail northwest of Des Moines, but that'll be done sometime in around 2020. The Great American Rail Trail for hiking and cycling would travel from Council Bluffs to Davenport. Nationwide, it would stretch some 3,700 miles from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.